Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. This is the reading of God's Word. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, "There are 6 days in which work should be done, so come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox and his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan had bound for 18 long years, should she not be been released from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word that we may truly hear, so our faith will grow and we'll be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us, so that we may live according to that reality that your Bible witnesses to us. Pour out your grace that your word will be preached correctly and all of us not only hear your word but also believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. Receive all the glory, God. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know, because I tell you every time I start my sermon on Book of Luke, that our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God, meaning that old has passed away and the new has come. The age of shadow has passed away and the eternal heaven has come. And we see the same message in our passage for today. The incident is related to the Sabbath. And when we read our passage, we see that even the synagogue officials, even though he is leader in that society, he does not understand the true will of God concerning the Sabbath. But he believes that he understands it very well. And I think the same problem many churchgoers have. They don't fully understand what God's will is for the Sabbath, and yet they think that they do. This is a problem. You and I must understand the true will of God concerning our Sabbath, the New Testament Sabbath, the Lord's Day. So many people think that the Sabbath is only for the Old Testament people of God, so that the Sabbath does not apply to the New Testament people of God. I don't know who told them, but so many believe that. Thus, let us look at the subject of the Sabbath in the New Testament, the Lord's Day, in a very general way today, and look at specifically verses 10 through 17, next time when we look at the book of Luke. So today will be topical. We're not going through those verses. But in general, what is Lord's Day all about? Well, we see the Sabbath first in the Old Testament. It comes to us as a part of the Ten Commandments. But this is not the first time in the Old Testament that we see the teaching of Sabbath, because we see that in Genesis, when God creates the whole world. And we're going to look at that a little later, but anyway, the Sabbath is the fourth commandment. Now, so many people say these days that the fourth commandment has nothing to do with God's people of the Old Testament. I mean, God's people of the New Testament. I gotta be careful there. Even though they will say that God's people in the New Testament must obey the other nine commandments. So the question is, why only fourth that we don't have to obey? The other commandments, like, do not commit adultery. Everybody agrees that New Testament people must obey that. We all agree that the other nine, we all have to agree. We all have to obey. But when it comes to fourth, somehow they say it doesn't apply to us today. Did God say that? That, yeah, I gave you Ten Commandments, but one, you don't have to obey anymore. Did God say that? Why only fourth? And who decides that only one out of ten we don't have to obey in the New Testament? Now, of course, the Sabbath of the Old Testament was on Saturday. But you and I observe the Lord's Day as our Sabbath day in the New Testament. Now, just because we do not observe Saturday as the Sabbath, like the Old Testament people of God, does this mean that we reject all the teachings and the principle of the Old Testament Sabbath? No. I give you an example. We no longer sacrifice the animals anymore in the New Testament. Does this mean that we reject all the teachings and the principle of the Old Testament animal sacrifice? Obviously, no. We must understand the teachings and the principles of the Old Testament animal sacrifice to clearly understand the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, first, we must understand that the teachings and the principles of the Sabbath of both the Old Testament and the New Testament are the same. The Old Testament Sabbath was pointing to heavenly rest, just like the New Testament Sabbath, Lord's Day, is pointing to heavenly rest. Only the day and the way we observe it has changed. But the meaning and the purpose remains the same. The Old Testament Sabbath was pointing to the eternal heavenly rest, just like it. The New Testament Sabbath is also pointing to the eternal heavenly rest. So we have a question here. What is the eternal heavenly rest? What is heavenly rest? The eternal heavenly rest is resting from this world and resting from sin. In heaven, there will be no more sin, no more this world. In heaven, we will live the life without sin and without this world. The world will end and God's people will sin no more. That's the heavenly rest. You resting from sin because there is no more sin. And you resting from this world because there is no more this world. That's heavenly rest. You resting from sin and from this world. Because there is no more. Now, that heavenly rest. In the Old Testament, that reality, just like anything else, that reality was witnessed typologically, meaning witnessed worldly. Thus, they witnessed that heavenly rest by physically resting. That's the Old Testament. Just like anything else, the heavenly temple was expressed with physical temple, earthly temple. So the heavenly rest was expressed physically. That's the Old Testament, just like everything that we've been studying. But in the New Testament, we no longer witness that heavenly reality physically or typologically. No, we witness our heavenly reality by worshiping God, because that's exactly what heavenly life is all about. When we say heavenly rest, it's not like we go to heaven and somehow we need to sleep. We lie down and we physically rest. No, in heaven you will not rest physically. Never. It's always life activity. And it's always related to worshiping our God. That's heavenly life. That is heavenly rest. But in the Old Testament, that was expressed physically, just like everything else in the Old Testament. So they physically rested. No more. So just because people understand, oh, this is the Lord's Day, we need to rest, and they go home and they sleep. If you need sleep, please do that other days. Oh, you know, I work 6 days, I work 5 days, I need some sleep. Yes, you do that Monday. You do that Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. You have so many choices. But on the Lord's Day, we need to do some activities. We worship our God corporately as a church, and family worship and individual worship. All day long, you worship God. It's not about you go home and sleep. I know you need some rest, physical. But like I said, you could do that some other days. Why Lord's Day? Why? That's what the world does. That's not what the Bible says. People have it so wrong. In the New Testament, we no longer witness that heavenly reality, the heavenly rest, physically or typologically. We worship our God because that is exactly what our heavenly reality is all about. We, by faith, witness that reality by corporate worship, family worship, personal worship. We rest from the activities of this world and sin. That's what today is all about. In Old Testament, the pattern of God's people's lives were from the first day to the Saturday, meaning that they lived their lives in terms of waiting for the rest. Thus, the last day, the Saturday, was the Sabbath. That was the pattern of Old Testament. You live your life waiting for that rest. But when Jesus came in the New Testament, Jesus Christ has already accomplished our heavenly rest. We begin the week with the Lord's Day, the day in which our heavenly reality was accomplished, the day of our Lord's resurrection from the dead, to show us that now heavenly rest is accomplished. The day that Jesus was resurrected, the Lord's Day. We observe that day as our Sabbath. We live the week, not in terms of waiting for the rest, but in the New Testament, we live 1 week in terms of enjoying the rest that our Lord has already accomplished. That's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Heaven has come. Brothers and sisters, we have been created as God's image. We have been created as God's image. Does God want us to be like Him? God created 6 days, meaning He worked 6 days and rested on the seventh day. That is the pattern for the Old Testament people. They work 6 days, and on the seventh day, they rest. Let me read to you Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth was completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Did you notice that the passage says that God has blessed the seventh day and sanctified it? What does that mean, sanctified it? Well, meaning God made it holy. So we could see that it was not through the law of Moses that Sabbath was made it holy. God did it ever since creation. Also, people saying that, oh, Lord's Day, you know, we have to keep it holy. They say, oh, that was the law. So we are no longer under the law. So we don't have to obey that. That's nonsense. It wasn't the law that sanctified it. God did it in Genesis chapter 2. He made it holy, meaning that we have to keep it holy. So it was God's will that the day is holy from very beginning. And that the same Genesis verses that we just read tell us, the New Testament people of God, that it is God's will for us to set apart one day out of 7 days to keep it holy. And our Lord Jesus Christ, by resurrecting from the dead on the Lord's Day, He let us know which day we must set apart. He did that by resurrecting on the Lord's Day. In the beginning, God created for 6 days and rested on the seventh day. This means on the seventh day, there was nothing more God to create. So you got to understand, when we read in the Bible, God rested, it wasn't because He was so tired, because He worked so hard to create things in 6 days. And on the seventh day, oh, He says, I need to rest because I'm tired. That's not what's the picture. When we read that God rested, it means that He stopped creating. He's resting from creating. That was His rest. But again, in the Old Testament, that was expressed physically by actually sleeping, you know, by physical rest. Now, even though on the seventh day there was nothing more God to do because creation was over, but as you know, through Adam and Eve, sin came in, and there is now work for God to do on the seventh day. The work of salvation, the work of new creation. John chapter 5, verse 17, but He answered them, My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. It was about, you know, working on the Sabbath. And Jesus says, My Father is working, so I am working. What is He talking about? Work of new creation. Thus we could see that the first Sabbath in the Old Testament, the Sabbath in the Old Testament was a shadow. And God, even in Old Testament, told us that He would put an end to Old Testament Sabbath. Hosea chapter 2 verse 11, I will also put an end to all her gaiety, her feasts, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her festival assemblies. So you will find Paul saying this in Colossians chapter 2 verse 16 and 17. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or new moon or a Sabbath day. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belong to Christ. Paul says the Old Testament Sabbath was shadow. Thus, after Jesus Christ accomplishes heaven, the true Sabbath is given. The Sabbath that shows that there is no more work for God to be done that day. See, Old Testament Sabbath, yes, it shows that there's no more creation to be done, but we could see from redemptive history that God had to do some more work. New creation. But see, our Lord's Day, it clearly shows that absolutely there's no more work for God to do. Because even new creation is now accomplished. Do you understand? The true Sabbath has given. The Sabbath that shows that there is no more work to be done has been given. The Sabbath that is the sign of the true eternal rest, eternal heavenly rest has been given. The Lord's Day. It is the sign of the new creation being completed. So when you look at Lord's Day and you look at what's going on, by looking at true Christians, see, Old Testament people, when they rested physically, if you have faith, you look at what God's people are doing, you say, oh, God has finished the creation. Just like when you look at the New Testament Christians, the message is, God's new creation is finished. Because Jesus rested. After new creation. We have said before the teaching and the principle of the Old Testament Sabbath and the New Testament Sabbath is the same. The rest on the Sabbath is to be like God. First Sabbath, be like God after creation. The Lord's Day, be like Jesus Christ after the new creation. That's exactly what Jesus is doing in heaven. He's resting, sat at the right hand of God after the new creation. And that's our message as we rest on this Lord's Day. The principle you learn from the Old Testament, you apply to New Testament. Yes. The redemptive history has been accomplished so that things will change a little bit, but not the teaching, not the principle. It remains. Exodus 31 verse 13 to the 17, but as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. That you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall utterly, surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. It says Sabbath. It is the eternal sign of the eternal covenant. Thus, not to observe the Sabbath means deny the covenant of God. That principle applies the same. People who don't observe the Sabbath, Lord's Day, on the New Testament, they're rejecting Jesus Christ's new covenant. And we see how much God hates the sin of profaning the Sabbath. He said, everyone who profanes it shall surely put to death. Understand how much God hates it when you do not observe the Lord's Day holy. Oh, you say, oh, but that was the Old Testament. Yeah, in the Old Testament, when you commit adultery, God says, kill him. In the New Testament, you don't find God saying, kill somebody, someone who commit adultery. Does that mean that in the New Testament, God is now okay with adultery? That's the same kind of argument they're making. No, we know how much God hates adultery. Even though he doesn't tell us to kill someone who commits it today, we know how much he hates it by looking at Old Testament. Just like it, God hates people who do not observe the Lord's Day holy. This is serious sin. And yet today, God's people, they don't care. Who told them that it was okay to just profane it? Look at this. God creates the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. God gives us the 7 days pattern. And in these 7 days, we see the pattern of the whole history. It has the beginning and it has the end. And the whole history ends with the rest. At the end of history, there is heaven. That's the message of God. And you must look at that and understand it. That everything flows. And at the end, heaven. That's what end is all about. The rest. Which was pointing to heavenly rest.
Here's what I found.
He's answering the question that it thinks I asked my watch. Dumb. So, at the end, there is heaven. Heaven that is filled with the glory of God. And Jesus came and fulfills the redemptive history and changes the day of the Sabbath to let his people know that the eternal rest of heaven has now been accomplished. And in the new creation, the eternal history begins with Sabbath. And through the seven-day pattern, we learn that God is the Alpha and the Omega. Our God is the consummator of all things and perfecter of all. And in the New Testament, Sabbath shows that the new creation has been accomplished and the eternal rest has been accomplished. Just like how God was so pleased with His creation after the first creation, God sees the completion of the new creation by our Lord Jesus Christ and is perfectly, eternally pleased. Genesis chapter 1 verse 31, it says, God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. That is now perfectly fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ. So when God sees the new creation, when God sees you, because you are the new creation, He's so pleased. And that's what this day is all about. After the creation, God saw everything that He created and He was so happy. But sin comes in. So there's a new creation. And after new creation, God sees what the new creation has been. And He is so pleased. And that's what the Lord's Day is all about. This day, God is so pleased. Because you, the new creation, has been accomplished. And God blesses this day. He sets this day apart. He makes it holy. And after the tabernacle and the temple were completed, God blessed them and fills them with His glory. That reality is completely accomplished eternally. Jesus Christ has finished the new creation, the true temple, and He fills it with His glory. And that is what the Lord's Day is all about. That's why when I look at you, I do my best, always remind myself that you are the new creation. And after completion of new creation, God fills His true temple. Because you are the temple of God. And He fills with His glory. Just like in the Old Testament, when tabernacle was filled with God's glory, they could not even go in because it was shining too brightly. Just like you are the new temple. You are the true temple. And He fills His glory in you. That's why the Holy Spirit lives in you. And you are shining so brightly, I can hardly see you. That's the reality. That's the reality that our Lord has already accomplished. And that's the reality this worship is witnessing. How can you not be happy when you come to worship? It is so amazing that they call themselves Christian and they hate coming to worship. First, you question that person. If he doesn't like worshiping God, you question him whether he's truly Christian or not. I don't care what he says. You cannot love worshiping God as a Christian. Bible just doesn't allow it. Because this is what being a Christian really means. Worshipping our God now and forever. Amen. If you hate 1 hour of worship on this earth, how are you going to handle eternal worship in heaven? Man, you're going to be just bored out of your mind. You'll be like, oh. So why do you want to go to heaven if you hate worship here? Because heaven is all about worship. Does that make sense to you? That you want to go to heaven but I hate worship? How can Christian do that? Brothers and sisters, worship is what our eternal life is all about. Jesus fills His new creation with His glory. That's why this Lord's Day is a glorious day. That's why I love to see you coming to worship Because when I see you with faith, I see glory. Glory of God filled every one of you. That's what this Lord's Day is all about. This is why this Lord's Day is filled with joy and gladness and glory. Moreover, the seventh-day rest witnesses the reality in which our Lord Jesus Christ, I should say not seventh-day, I should say Lord's Day rest, witnesses the reality in which our Lord Jesus Christ is seated as the King of all things. The rest, the Sabbath, that points to Jesus Christ being seated at the throne as the King. In Psalm 132, God comes into the temple and receives the worship of His people. Verses 13 and 14 of Psalm 132. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Do you see it? His throne is His resting place. His eternal Sabbath place. It is His throne on which He sits down to rule His kingdom forever. And this is what the Sabbath points to. And you and I, we will join in the rest. Now, joining in the resting with Christ, meaning we will join Him reigning as the King. Now, look at what Luke, how he describes you and I going into that eternal rest. It says that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Our heavenly rest is our reigning with our Lord Jesus Christ as the kings of the kingdom of God, because all our enemies have been destroyed. Revelation 22 verse 5, and there will no longer be any night, and there will not have need of the light of the lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. And the new creation also involves the defeating of Satan. Thus we read in Numbers 10, verse 35-36. Then it came about when the ark set out that Moses said, rise up, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. And let those who hate you flee before you. When he came to rest, he said, return, O Lord, to the myriad thousands of Israel. So you see, the picture of resting points to the victory over the enemies and celebrating that victory. The enemy is defeated, thus the rest of the king points to his victory over his enemies. The same is true for the heavenly rest. The heavenly rest, eternal rest, is shown in Revelation 21 and 22. But it is preceded by the victory of Jesus Christ over His enemies, Satan and his followers, in Revelation 19 and 20. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? As we gather here to worship our God, we're witnessing eternal rest. Resting from the world and resting from sin. But we also witness our Lord's victory over His enemies. Do you understand, you and I? We are victorious over this world and sin. This is what this worship points to. Because we're resting. We're witnessing that heavenly rest. Resting from the world and sin. We are victorious over the world and sin. This is what it means to enter the eternal rest. This is the same as God bringing in the order over the chaos, the formless void and darkness, and accomplishing the Garden of Eden at the creation. Same reality. God defeated his enemies. Oh, brothers and sisters, whenever you come to worship, realize that Jesus Christ has defeated this world, that he defeated his enemies, which is the same enemies of ours. So you rejoice, you give him all the glory and honor and power, because it's his victory. Oh, I pray that every one of you will understand what Lord's Day is and what Lord's Day worship is all about. The Lord's Day rest, it witnesses our heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished. Just like the Old Testament Sabbath witnesses the accomplishment of the first creation, the New Testament Sabbath, Lord's Day, witnesses the accomplishment of the new creation, the salvation of God by our Lord Jesus Christ. And this principle was taught by our God even in the Old Testament. In Exodus 20, God tells us why his people must observe the Sabbath day. Let me read that to you. Exodus 20:11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So there you read it. The reason for Sabbath is related to the first creation. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, God gives another reason why God's people must observe Sabbath. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Did you notice that? Now the reason that is related to observing Sabbath day is now salvation, meaning new creation. And if you keep studying the Old Testament, God relates the Sabbath of Old Testament with heavenly realities. Isaiah 53, verse 13 and 14, if because of Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take light. You will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with a heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God says, if you observe the Sabbath, then he will make you ride on the heights of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, all pointing to heaven, heavenly reality. And this passage details how we are to observe the Sabbath. Did you read it? Did you hear it? Of course, no work on Sabbath, but also call the Sabbath a delight. You get up in the Lord's Day, get up on the Lord's Day. First thing says, this day is my delight. Because it is. Once you truly understand what this day is all about, it is your delight. And God says, desist from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own words. So be careful what you say on the Lord's Day. It's not day to joke around with your whatever or complain about your job or complain. It's not for that. And do not seek your own pleasure. This is why I don't watch TV. I don't, you know, hear radio. I don't watch whatever. It's not for that. You call this day delight and you realize what has happened in Christ. So you do your best to witness that. You show that the far as you're concerned, this world is dead to you. You don't need this world to survive. God says, we do not live by bread alone. We live by the Word of God. So if you have something that you don't find in the refrigerator, don't go to market on this glorious day. Just starve if that's what you have to do. You don't want to engage with the world on this holy day. Because far as your testimony goes, world is dead to me and I to the world. That's the message of the Bible. I'd rather die than listen to government telling me stop worshiping. What's life without worship? You think that life is worth anything? And I'm not just saying this because I'm up here. This is my belief. Oh yeah, I might chicken out if gun is put on my head. I might chicken out, but this is my belief. Life without worship is not life at all. We live because we want to worship God. That's what the Bible tells me, what Christian life is all about. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 24, 25, but it will come about, if you listen attentively to me, declares the Lord, to bring no Lord in through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but to keep the Sabbath day holy by doing no work on it, then those will come in through the gates of this city, kings and princes, sitting on the throne of David, riding on chariots and on horses, they and their princes, and men of Judah, and is the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city will inhabit it forever. In this passage, God relates the Sabbath with the eternal city and eternal kingdom. So you see, even in Old Testament, God relates the Sabbath with salvation, the new creation, and heaven. Now, there's so much to say, but let me try to end here. And please listen very carefully. Because this is so important. The New Testament Sabbath, the Lord's Day. You and I, we absolutely have the message that we must witness. We must witness that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished the eternal rest of heaven. That's what you need to show. That Jesus Christ has accomplished our salvation. He has accomplished our eternal rest of heaven. And how can I show that? How can I give that message on this day? You keep it holy and you come to worship. You call this day your delight, and you stop from the activities of this world, and you do activities of heaven. Show it with heavenly pride. Show this. The Don't join the world as if God has done nothing for you and just world is everything. Don't go out there and do the worldly things to show that this world is everything to you. That's not who you are. We have to show, we have to witness the resting from sin and from this world has been accomplished. We must witness that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished the eternal salvation, the eternal life. And we must witness because of what our Lord has accomplished that this world has passed away and heaven has come. We must witness that God has called us righteous in His sight and as such we stand before God to worship Him now and forever. And we must witness that Jesus Christ has destroyed Satan and his power and that He has sat on the throne as the King and we are His people who serve Him and worship Him now and forever. We rest from the work so to witness that all has been accomplished by Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we rest from the work to witness that we do not need this world to live. The work of toil and sweat came in because of sin. And we rest from work in to witness that we are free from that curse of God. As we observe the Lord's Day holy and worship together our God, we witness all of this. In Hebrews chapter 4, we see how our Lord Jesus Christ has already entered the eternal rest. Thus, we rest on the Lord's Day to witness that we too have entered the rest in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 10, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. We imitate Christ. He finished the new creation and he rests. He rests forever. And that's what we need to do. Do you understand the purpose, the message of this day? With heavenly pride, I want to show this. I want to show the world what has been accomplished. Of course, they're not going to recognize it, but that's my desire. I want to show. So I rest. I rest from this world, and I rest from sin. To show what Christ has accomplished. That I do not belong to this world anymore. And I don't need the world to survive. Even if I die, I live forever. I want to show this. Help me. So that we could do this together. Because I'm weak also. So if I don't have you, am I just chicken out? But if you stand with me, I might do this better. What is our life all about? It's to witness Jesus Christ. And how can we do that without Lord's Day and without worship? How? The Lord's Day. The Lord of the Lord's Day is Jesus Christ. The Lord of Sabbath is Jesus Christ. Do you understand? It is His rest. Jesus' rest. He's resting even now. And we are called to participate in that rest. Especially on this Lord's Day. Listen to this. Ezekiel 20 verse 12. Also, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them that they might know that I'm the Lord who sanctifies them. And this is my last point. As we observe the Lord's Day holy, what we are witnessing is that Jesus Christ is our Lord who sanctifies us, who sets us apart, who sets us as a holy people. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? And I want you to see this. It's not hard to see it. When we keep this day holy, and when we gather to worship our God, we witness that Jesus has set us apart from this world. Do you see it? There's a world out there. All kinds of business going on. Do you see how God set you apart from the world? How you are distinct from the world? How you have been separated from the world? Do you see it? Even as you observe this whole day holy, as you do that at home and wherever you are, do you see how you have been set apart from the world? How you have been separated from the world? Who could even see it here? Look at how we're set apart. We're not part of the world. Do you see it? We have gathered unto God. We're set apart from the world. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want you to see this. And be very happy. What if I'm just out there, just part of the world, doing all the worldly stuff? How pathetic my situation would be. But I'm not like that. I'm set apart. I know I went pretty kind of long, but see it. See for yourself how set apart you are, even as we gather here to worship. So we proclaim to everyone, Jesus is my Lord who sanctifies me. Like I said, we have so much to say, but we reserve it until next time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for setting us apart from this world, that you have saved us out of this world, delivered us into your precious Son's kingdom. We thank you that this Lord's Day, as we keep it holy, as we worship you, we witness how we are set apart from this world, that how we don't belong to this world. We have been saved out of this world. With pride of heaven, let us witness clearly that reality on this glorious day. We thank you. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.